God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is from our gospel reading, from Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 24, as Jesus starts off by asking a question. And he asks the question, "Who do the crowds say I am?" And I just want to pick up on that concept for a moment. In today's world, you know, there's many things we know about ourselves. We can look in the mirror, we understand how we think, we think we understand how we act, and so forth. But to get a true picture of oneself, you really need to ask someone else. Because, I'll admit it, if I look at myself, I look at myself and say, you know, I'm not that bad. I'm a pretty decent person. Now, someone else may look at me and say, now wait a minute, I see something else that's a little different. And because of that, we sometimes need someone to give us that feedback, that opinion from another point of view, because my own point of view is a little tainted. Now, I will admit, I'm not going to ask my mom either. She also probably has a little bit of a tainted point of view. But I'll ask someone who I know and respect has good judgment. They will be able to see things within me that I can improve upon that I wouldn't see myself. Some people have speculated, is that what Jesus is doing here in our text? And let me answer by saying, no. God knows who he is. Jesus is the Son of God. He's not doing this in some sort of psychology experiment and seeing, you know, some of the flaws of himself to improve himself. He knows who he is. The question is, do the crowds, do the disciples know who he is? That's what he's really getting at. This isn't some self-reflection time of Jesus. No, this isn't a very inquisitive time to find out where the other people are at. So he asks, who do the crowds? You know, that safe answer. What do other people think about me? Now, just for a moment, let me first start by saying, if I was to ask that question in today's society, I'd get a very wide variety of answers. Some people would say that Jesus was a good philosopher. Some people would say he was just a man of God, someone who spoke God's word. Some people would say he's some political icon that people have sort of rallied around to sort of promote justice and equality for all. And then there are some, which I include, hopefully will include in people in this room, who believe that, yes, Jesus is the Son of God, the promised Messiah that God sent to redeem the world, who died on the cross for the forgiveness of everyone's sins, that those who believe and trust in him and the forgiveness of sins that he provides have the gift of eternal life. But unfortunately, in today's world, not everyone believes that. And even in the name of Christianity, there are some denominations and some people who still have a little bit of a hesitation saying that Jesus is truly God, that he was God from the beginning, took on flesh and blood, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, and was raised on the third day. There are some who would hesitate to say that. But now let's get back into our text. Let's see what the crowds would say. Oh, but before I do so, let me just pick on a little bit on why people would be hesitant. Some of the reasons why some people would be hesitant in saying, can Jesus do all those things and be all those things, is because it's beyond their comprehension. It's beyond their ability to understand and grasp how someone could rise from the dead, how someone could die for the forgiveness of our sins, how someone can do all those miracles, and so they rationalize Jesus away to nothing more than just some wise philosopher or some political icon. Now let's get back to our text. What do the crowds say? I love this as an answer. From the disciples, they say, some say John the Baptist. They remember that John the Baptist was a good prophet. He proclaimed the word of God. He was baptizing people, but he was beheaded. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, I guess that they would say that John the Baptist came back to life. Okay, let's go on to the next option. Some say Elijah. Elijah, a prophet who had died hundreds of years before this time, now also came back to life. And still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. It's kind of interesting. The crowds come up with answers that sound really far-fetched. Who else do you know has ever died and come back to life? But yet the crowds are willing to stretch their faith of imagination to come up with John the Baptist, Elijah, and others. Now, before I go too far, let me go back into today's time. Some people who still dismiss Jesus and saying, how can he be the Savior? How can he die and come back to life? How can he forgive us all our sins? Isn't that beyond the imagination? But what do people in today's world believe? How many times have you been driving down the road and you see in someone else's car hanging from the rearview mirror some sort of crystal? Sometimes people will wear crystals, have them dangling around. Or my next favorite one is dream catchers. Well, what do the crystals do? Well, for those who believe in the New Age movement, it is supposed to be that device that funnels the energy of the universe into you. Those dream catchers are supposed to help grab your dreams and so that you can recall them and again, to get tap into some unknown energy. And our world believes in strange things like this, and they have a hard time that Jesus can be true man, true God, die on the cross, rise on the third day, and forgiveness of sins and eternal life is based on your faith in his universal atonement. And the world says they believe in crystals and dream catchers, but they have a hard time in saying this. Something must be going on here. And the answer is, it's called faith. Our world doesn't believe. The Holy Spirit hasn't worked that faith into his heart, into their hearts. Now let's pick up back to our text. Jesus now asks the disciples, who do you say I am? Peter answered, the Christ of God. Elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus reminds Peter and us that that wasn't revealed to you by man alone. That was revealed to you by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because it's only through the Holy Spirit can we make that bold confession that Jesus is the Christ of God. So what does it mean to be the Christ? That anointed one? What does it mean to be that promised Messiah? Going back, way back to Genesis chapter 3, after mankind had sinned, after Adam and Eve had sinned, God promised a Savior would come to bring back this creation that was now torn apart because of sin. You see, God did not create this world with all the pains and agonies that we have right now. He didn't create this world with sinful human beings. He didn't create this world so that there would be a lot of grief and tears and anxieties. No, he created this world so that we, like Adam and Eve initially, would live in paradise. But what had happened? Satan came, deceived Adam and Eve, and sin into this world. And now we have a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. It is the Christ of God who is going to come to repair that. The Christ of God who is going to come to restore God's creation. The Christ of God who comes to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins so that all who believe and trust and what the Christ of God has done has the gift of eternal life. Sometimes people say, this is too far-fetched, Pastor. I can't believe it. And I say, I believe it because faith has been given to me. When has that faith been given to me? Well, like Andrew, when I came to the baptismal font. When water was placed upon me in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. At that time, in the midst of the waters of holy baptism, through the power of God's Word, the Holy Spirit creates that faith in my life, gives me that Holy Spirit. And now I'm a child of God. As we say, Andrew is a child of God. His sins are forgiven. Again, some people may have a hard time with this. And saying that this is beyond my understanding. And it is. And by the way, it is beyond my understanding how crystals and dream captures can do those silly things that people believe in. That's why we call it faith. By faith, we believe what Jesus has done. By faith, given to us by God Himself, we say that we are followers of Christ. And so, let me just skip the next paragraph for right now. And He said to them all, "If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." Jesus here is noting something. Let me just pick up on this for a moment. Let me put it this way. Throughout our life, there are going to be times that we're going to sort of get stuck. We're going to be sort of standing still. We want to keep moving, but something is holding us back. Sometimes it's a grief. Sometimes it's a weight. We may describe it in many different forms, but something is holding us back that we shouldn't, that it's causing us not to live the way we want to live. What is that something? Going back to Adam and Eve, that something is sin. Remember, God didn't create this world to be a sinful world. He did not create sin, and so what happens when sin enters our lives? What happens when we commit those sins? What happens when sin crosses our path? It weighs us down. It causes us to stop. What is Jesus saying here? Take up our cross and follow Me. Never did Jesus ever say, because of the faith given to you, you will have a perfect life. Never did He say, because of the faith given to you, everything will be just full of joy. But what Jesus does say, and it is who Jesus is, He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. So the weight of sin that we carry, we need to give to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He bore it on the cross. He's taken away the sin of the whole world. He's taken away your sin, my sin. He has restored us. And ultimately we will be restored and when we get to heaven above. But who is Jesus? Do we not say Jesus is the Christ of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world? Then what weighs you down and why is it weighing you down? If you take a good look at yourself or ask someone else, you'll probably find whatever weighs you down is related to sin. But I have to ask you, who is Jesus? Can you say with Simon Peter, Jesus is the Christ of God, the one who came to deliver us from sin, death, and the devil, the one who has come to free us from the bondage of sin? If so, then why are we still weighed down by this burden of sin? We've come to the waters of holy baptism. We've been cleaned. We've been cleansed. Our sinful nature has been drowned. The problem is, in one essence, our sinful nature is a very good swimmer and comes back. What happens is we allow the sins, not only our personal sins, but the sins of the world to weigh us down. Let me put it another way. How many times in your life has some great tragedy occurred? And your first response is, why God, why did you allow this event to come into my life? Sort of saying and complaining to God, this isn't fair, this isn't right. Well, what did God do for you? He redeemed you from sin, death, and the devil. He bought you with the price of His precious blood. Nowhere did He say you were going to have the winning lottery ticket for $280 million. But He says, guess what? You have freedom. Freedom from sin, death, and the devil. Don't go there anymore. Don't be stuck there anymore. Be free from it. But unfortunately, I see us Christians, we're not free from sin, death, and the devil. It's almost like we want to follow sin, death, and the devil. And so when tragedy comes into our lives, we quickly complain to God and saying, God, where are you? Now let me answer that question. Where is the Christ of God? Did we not see what took place a few minutes beforehand at the baptism of Andrew? Water, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was placed upon him. And the gift of the Holy Spirit was then given to him. So where is God? Actually, our New Age people would probably love this kind of language. Let me put it this way. We think about the body. We think about the mind. We understand the soul, that part of us that sort of connects the body and mind together. Now let's talk about the Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit now entering into us. We have that gift of the Holy Spirit. He resides within us. He touches our souls. He touches every members of our body. In one essence, Christ is with us, in us. But do we truly understand that? The question in today's sermon, who is Jesus? The Christ of God. But do we truly understand that, yes, God is with us through the Holy Spirit? He resides in us, as Scripture says, as Paul reminds us, our bodies are the temple of the Lord. The temple where the Spirit of God resides. But when tragedy comes and we cry out to God, 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 where are you? We may feel alone, we may feel abandoned, but who is Jesus? He is with us, He is in us, there to nurture us, to forgive us, to strengthen us. Again, we have doubts sometimes. Let me put it another way. Here's another way in which us as Christians sometimes mix up this point on who Jesus is. A few minutes from now, we'll now come to this Lord's table. We'll receive that bread and that wine. And using Jesus' own words, do we not realize, He says, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. Do we not realize that that bread and wine is also the body and blood of Jesus Christ? Again, how does this happen? I can't really explain it, not by scientific methods, but I can go back to God's Word, and in His Word is power. And if this is what Jesus says, then it must be true. Yes, it is beyond my understanding, but I believe it by faith. My trust is there in His Word, because His words are true. Who is Jesus? He is the Christ of God. He is present with us. He has forgiven our sins. He is there to restore us to back to the original design of the Maker so that we can be one with Him in heaven above. Now, do we believe that? Going back to our own lives, if we believe who Jesus is and the power He brings, the power to restore us, why don't we take up our cross and follow Him? Why do we get stuck? Because of lack of trust. So we ask the Lord to send us again, to strengthen us, and to remind us of that Holy Spirit, to help us get back into His Word, to help restore that trust, so that we can be bold when crisis comes in our lives, because it will come, and it will probably come sooner than we want it to come, that we do not give up our faith, that we don't necessarily complain to God, but that we trust that God is with us always. He has been there from the beginning, from when we were brought to that baptismal font. He will be there to the end, to that last day when He comes again in triumph and says, all you who have been faithful, all you who believe and trust in Me have the gift of eternal life. Who is that Jesus? Our Redeemer, our Savior. That is who that Jesus is. We ask the Lord to give us that same faith and trust as Peter did, as Peter has, to be bold to say, yes, Jesus is the Christ of God. We also ask the Lord to give us opportunities to be bold to share that message of faith with those around us, so that even more people will come to the understanding and knowledge that, yes, Jesus is Lord of Lords. We also ask the Holy Spirit to be with us and to guide us in His church as we try to remain faithful to God's holy word, and we teach it with all boldness. Because who is Jesus? Nothing more than just our Savior, our Deliverer, the One who conquered sin, death, and the devil, so that we can be with God in heaven above. In His name, Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.